Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 105 of Tatooine Sons. We're finishing up our exploration of the hero's journey in the original trilogy, prequel trilogy, and now the sequel trilogy. How do you take the granddaughter of the greatest villain in the galaxy and elevate her to a hero? Rey's journey is a reversal of Anakin's descent into the dark side through fear, hate, anger, and suffering. Plus, hot takes, poll results, and more.
I didn't know there was this much green in the whole galaxy.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A true Star Wars fan, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're probably not familiar with Rey's hero's journey.
That was lame.
Yeah, well, you didn't give me anything to go off
of. We never give you anything to go off
of. No, but, like, it's the same thing for the past three episodes.
The hero's journey.
I know.
So you think everybody's done hearing about the hero's journey?
No, it's just I didn't know what to come up with. There's nothing else.
Well, we've only talked about the hero's journey really twice. The other one was failed, so.
No,
we talked about it once. This is the second time.
It's the same as the first one, so it's like, what do you want me to do?
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, he's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Thanks.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Birds of Prey.
I got a bad feeling about this.
This is a popular movie.
Somehow.
This is madness.
So I'm Baby Nate, you're a big DC Comics fan.
Why do you do this?
Why do I do this? So,
this is where the fun begins.
Tell us what you thought about Birds of Prey.
Just no, I just didn't like it. It didn't work. The amount of vulgarity in it was off-putting, very off-putting, especially by Obi-Wan, which that was pretty weird to hear.
Oh, by Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, but it took the characters and made them weird. It took one of my favorite Batman villains, Victor Zsasz, and just made him stupid.
You didn't like that character at all, huh?
It's just...
How do you really feel?
Well, in Gotham, they portrayed him so well, and I'm like, well, if they did it once, then they can do it again, but...
Oh, was he in the Gotham TV series?
His main character.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I mean, I haven't watched it, so...
And I'm like, oh, you gotta ruin it all.
Okay, all right. Samuel, what did you think about Birds of Prey?
I'm obviously not as huge of a DC fan as Nate, but, I know a little bit about stuff, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the way they portrayed the characters. Harley Quinn was okay, but just overall, there was way too much vulgarity, just to the point where it was, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You just really couldn't, like, enjoy the movie because you're wondering, all right, when's this going to happen again? Like, is it just kept happening? So it's tough to really focus, and the story was nothing crazy unique or exciting. There was really no uplifting tone to it in any way. So it was not my thing.
I think the thing that bothered me the most about it, and of course this is not a DC cinematic universe, whatever they call it, podcast, but we talk about some of that kind of stuff at the opening.
Yeah.
I didn't, there was no good versus evil. It was just all evil versus evil. Who's the bad guy that's going to survive? You know, they make an anti-hero, I guess, out of Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey characters. And you are, you know, you're supposed to be rooting for Harley Quinn to survive and win against Black Mask or Victor Saz or whoever.
Yeah, it's Black Mask.
Black Mask. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I didn't find anybody that I really wanted to root for in this movie.
No. Yeah.
So anyway,
and I just felt like
who's less evil in a way.
All they were like, okay, the only good thing that came out of Suicide Squad was apparently Harley Quinn. People like that, so let's make a movie off of her. And it had no point to the DCEU. It had no reason it should be in there. I mean, they could have just made another DC movie with all the characters and we wouldn't have had a problem. It's just, I felt like it was a little bit unnecessary and just overall, I didn't enjoy it.
I have spoken.
Yes.
All right. All right. So it's snowing again.
It still
feels like it's been snowing for 3 months straight now.
We don't usually get this much snow in Colorado.
It's getting old.
Lots of snow.
Lots of
shoveling. Didn't shovel today, though.
Let's go to Florida.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So it's like, I'll be in, speaking of warmer weather, I'll be in Nicaragua for next week. It'll be 95 degrees every day when I'm
in
Nicaragua.
You're going to be like burning
short sleeve shirts. No, sleeveless shirts.
Oh.
Just do the Ben Swolo thing. Just go
Ben Swolo.
Go shirtless.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I cannot handle sleeveless shirts. I just cannot handle
them. Thing. I don't have the arms to pull those off.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Going to go down there to the Hope Centers that One Child, the organization I'm working with, has developed down there, and take some people down there to see them and get to experience and see them myself. And I'm supposed to bring stickers and bubbles.
Stickers?
I got to go to the dollar store.
Like for the kids?
Yeah, stickers and bubbles. That's what they want.
You can't go wrong
with those. Let me go shopping next.
Bubbles are fun. Stickers, you just throw them on whatever you want.
Kids like stickers and bubbles.
Yeah, you can put stickers on your face, too.
Like a bubble gun or something?
Yeah.
Those are fun. All right. I mean, we didn't talk about it last week, and we were talking about it during the intro, and you guys were hearing the intro, and Ryan was talking.
Yeah.
We were talking about it and how Ryan wore Turbis the Porg cufflinks.
Which is pretty cool.
To the Pro Oscars. Porg. I won't repeat what he tweeted out with the photo of him because it's got Birds of Prey level vulgarities in it. But what are you doing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's just say that Sam has rolled up his Star Wars hoodie to the point where his midriff is showing. Okay, on that note. Let's talk about this week's. Last week's dag nabbit. Last week's podcast poll results.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
Maybe Nate can't stop talking about why he doesn't like Birds of Prey. But you know what? If you liked it, you're still an awesome person, and we love you.
Yep.
And you don't have to feel shame or anything over that. We didn't like it. That's our opinion.
Opinions
are like armpits.
What?
They matter.
You've never heard that?
No.
Opinions are like armpits? I can't believe you've never heard this.
I probably have, but I'm...
Everybody has them, and they all stink.
Opinions don't stink.
Anyway. All right, last week's podcast poll was, is Anakin Skywalker's story a failed hero's journey?
Wow.
I'll say this before we get into it. We tweeted out our actual episode, and Mr. Z, Dan Zayer from Coffee with Kenobi, like big time into the mythology and hero's journey stuff, was Smart very dude. Excited to listen to our podcast last week because of the failed hero's journey idea. I haven't heard any response from him.
Probably means he didn't like it.
No, I think he's probably a lot busier than to comment on our podcast. But I thought it was pretty cool. We had yes, no, from a certain point of view. I had to define that for a couple people.
It took me a second to figure out.
Yeah, it took a couple people that. And then another comment below. Lowest was the other comment below. People were just pretty much, they had an opinion, and they shared it. From a certain point of view, got 14.7%. Yes, got 27.8%. Runaway winner here was no. Anakin Skywalker's story is not a failed hero's journey. What do you guys think about the reaction there?
I was expecting more from a certain point of views. But yeah, no, that was surprising. I think I was in the the camp of, at least in the prequels, yes, it was a failed hero's journey.
Yeah.
To obviously the original trilogy, but yeah, in the prequels, I was under the impression that it was a failed journey.
Surprised about that at all, BB Nate?
Yes, I was expecting more. Yes, because I was a yes. I really think that it was a failed hero's journey. Basically did the opposite of what a hero's journey is. Mm.
I explained it to some people on there as basically, it's a failed hero's journey with a side of redemption. You know? I mean, that's what I think it is. I don't think that he ever accomplished what the hero's journey was.
No.
He didn't even kill the Emperor.
No.
And bring balance to the Force, now that we know the whole story. He spared his son's life. That's it. He came back to the light. That's all that happens at the end of the original trilogy for Darth Vader. Hmm. Which is kind of depressing. All right. Yeah, let's see what you guys thought about it. So
we have Patrick Covey.
Yeah,
Patrick. At Ganon136.
Yeah.
A story of growth and learning, fall from grace, inner contemplations, and redemption all brought into one.
Kind of what I was talking about. Yeah. Sort of a failed hero's journey with a side of redemption there. So anyway, yeah. That's good. Who do I have? Do I have Rick?
Yes,
I've got
you do.
Rick. I should explain what Rick's had.
Yeah.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Rick at Rare Mage.
Mag.
Yeah, it approaches a classic Shakespearean tragedy. Hero with a fatal flaw falls from. That's four Fs in a row. That was hard
fatal
to pronounce.
Fatal flaw.
Falls from.
Wow, that's pretty tough. Yeah.
Hero with the fatal flaw falls from grace. Only to repent and find redemption. I see a theme here with the ones that I picked.
I want to say that one more time.
Fall from grace was in all three of them.
Here's fatal yours. Fall falls from.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, this next one's from Eric Thorin Oakenshield. Nice Hobbit reference there. I like that. Mm-hmm. Add Eric.
That's Oakenhout.
Oakenhout,
yeah. You mean glasses?
Yeah, it's dark.
It's dark on there, yeah.
He says it's not a hero's journey. It's a story about the fall from grace.
That was a common theme in all three of them was fall from grace.
I wonder why. Did you, like, choose that?
I picked the three that I thought were... Maybe I agreed with them, and that's why we did that. So
Cool. Yeah, those are good. Interesting.
Right. Well, why don't we talk about some other stuff, some hot takes.
Paid for by Morning Bullets. Are you overwhelmed by the recent stock market volatility? A buy and hold strategy is fine if you're 20, but if you're closer to retirement, you know you won't have time to recover from the downturns and stay on track. It's time to forget about 99% of the securities on the market and just focus on three stocks. Visit 3StockPlan25.com today to download the 3-Stock Retirement Blueprint for free. This free report teaches you how to grow your nest egg quickly using a proven strategy and names the three stocks you need to get started. Developed by renowned trader Jeff Clark, who for over 35 years has helped people just like you retire wealthy. Jeff's plan is designed to get your retirement on the fast track. Visit 3StockPlan25.com now and download the 3-Stock Retirement Blueprint today. You have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Get your 3-Stock Retirement Blueprint absolutely free. Just go to 3StockPlan25.com. That's 3StockPlan25.com. 3StockPlan25.com.
So is a Lando series in the works for Disney Plus? This one's good. Who really destroyed Luke's Jedi Academy? And it's time to start making plans for Celebration 2020. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, Lando coming to Disney Plus. Star Wars. Nate got tickled there during the intro there. Lando, we're coming to Disney Plus. This is from StarWarsUnity.net.
This isn't confirmed, right?
No, but I'll read it. It's from Jeremy Conrad, who's been very accurate in his reporting on Star Wars over the last 2 years I have been following those things. Very reputable. Okay. He was also very reputable on Avengers Endgame stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, wait, you read spoilers before?
Yeah, a couple. So anyway, when he speaks...
I have spoken.
There we go. You might remember back in September, Jeremy Conrad posted a rumor that there was some sort of spinoff or continuation of Solo: A Star Wars Story in the planning stages for Disney Plus. And now he's found out one more detail about that from a separate source that backs up what he heard in September and more. When the story was originally posted, it wasn't exactly clear what form the sequel spinoff would take. And while he still thinks it's likely that the spinoff series will deal with the crime syndicates such as Crimson Dawn and Black Sun. Nice. I'm excited to see some Black Sun in live action.
I want to see more Maul. They've done nothing with that.
Somebody said that season 7 is going to answer some of the...
We might. This is, again, and apparently Jeremy agrees with me because he says being the first time the latter is seen in live action. So I guess we're both excited about that. Disney and Lucasfilm are apparently very serious about trying to bring back Lando. And there's more. During Disney's last earnings call, Uncle Bob Iger hinted that future characters that show up in The Mandalorian could be spun off into their own series. And it sounds like that idea isn't going to be limited to that show. If they're able to bring back Lando in a Solo spinoff, it's very likely he'll also receive his own series on the streaming service as well. Uncle Bob said that on the earnings call that for the time being, the future of Star Wars is television. And from things going on behind the scenes, it sounds like they're taking that serious and planning to massively expand the Star Wars universe with series on Disney Plus.
Go ahead.
You can save it. All right. Now everyone will be like waiting with bated breath for you to comment. Yeah, are you ready?
Totally.
Hold on to it. Okay. Samuel the Hutt, do you want a Lando series? Why or why not?
Oh yeah. I loved Donald Glover's portrayal in Lando. I thought it fit really well. It was fun to watch. Just like Alden Ehrenreich's portrayal of Han. I mean, again, I would love to see Han Solo series too, but I think a Lando series will do really well. I hope that my only request is that if they do make it, it has to be the Chronicles.
Yeah.
Lando Calrissian. Oh. Otherwise, what's the point of making it?
Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah. Well, that was part of what I was going to say.
Okay. I didn't take it all. So... but no, I think that'd be a lot of fun. And, you know, he was talking about how the future of Star Wars is films. Well, I mean, TV. I mean, that makes sense because we're going to have 3 years without a film. So they've got to fill it up with a lot of TV stuff, I think. So.
All right. The world's
going to wait. I'm going to give my explanation, then I'm going to ask your question. But, yeah, I'd really enjoy a Lando series. And, I mean, just a Solo series would be awesome. Because I know we would all be excited for that. Because
especially Dad,
I would be super duper excited.
Yeah, but the Lando series in itself.
Ooh, I should download. So, it's not on Disney Plus yet.
It's on Vudu.
We own it on Vudu, though, don't we?
Yeah,
yeah.
Watch it on the flight to Nicaragua.
There you go.
All right. Anyway,
yeah. A Lando show would be very fun. I mean, we wouldn't get L3, and that'd be kind of disappointing.
Unless it was before Solo.
Maybe. It might be before Solo.
Ooh, that would be That'd be a lot of fun.
That would. But then it has to be called The Chronicles of Lando Calrissian, or I'm just not going to watch it. But
oh, that's not true. No. We didn't
but,
know it.
Okay.
It's not worth it.
Hold on.
Impressive. Yeah. Every word in that sentence is wrong.
So if they do a spin-off... If they do a spin-off series of Rebels with Ahsoka and Sabine, would it be live action or...
Oh, I think it's animation.
Well, yeah. They did say that the future of Star Wars was
TV, but so is animation. It's on TV, so that's cool. So, Kira, do you think she's back?
I don't know.
Right,
I just feel like it'd be hard to get that actress to do a...
she's not been doing anything else. She did that Christmas movie, but that's about it.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is over, so yeah. I knew a big... A new TV show would probably be good for, actually. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, it depends on the time period as to whether it's taking place before or after, but yeah, I think it could work.
What about a mall spinoff with Kira? About after the Crimson Dawn. And then bridge to Rebels, and then they do the Ahsoka speed.
What?
That'd be pretty cool. I would like that. A mall series. Live action. I don't
know if that's going to happen.
Already have Ray Park, so.
Okay. All right. Next one. Ben didn't destroy Luke's Jedi Academy.
Luke did.
No. This is from ScreenRant.com, but I saw it on two or three other sites.
So we just researched it a little bit.
So. The Rise of Kylo Ren reveals Luke Skywalker's Jedi Temple was likely destroyed by...
Snoke.
Palps.
Palpatine.
Whoa.
The Emperor didn't want to act openly, fearful Luke would be too powerful for him to defeat it, to defeat, but with Luke down, Palpatine unleashed a terrible force storm upon the Jedi Temple.
I was literally going to say, was it lightning that broke the temple?
Killing everyone there, Ben was nothing more than an observer, watching in horror, as almost everyone he'd grown up with. This is obviously from The Rise of Kylo Ren. This is actually issue one, but we read that in the, like, hours immediately before seeing The Rise of Skywalker, and I think we lost, like, focus. We weren't able to focus in on reading that one. But this was in that one. So, so Ben was nothing more than an observer watching in horror as almost everyone he'd grown up with was slaughtered. He took the blame for what happened when three Jedi who had been off-world arrived and found him standing there, grief-stricken because he believed he'd just slain his own uncle,
Luke,
and was unable to explain the atrocity he'd just
witnessed.
BB Nates. How does this change the way that you see Kylo Ren?
He didn't. We should do his hero's journey next. No, just joking. But
there's something there, maybe.
I feel like that was what we kind of talked about. He was forced into the dark side. He didn't want to. He accidentally killed Luke, and he didn't even kill Luke. But
Palpatine, well, he thought he did, though.
Yeah, and then Palpatine, you know, did the Force Storm. And none of it was his fault. He didn't want any of that to happen. And he was horrified by it, and I'm sure I don't remember Rise of Kylo Ren, but I'm sure he was trying to plead like it wasn't me.
No, he didn't. He just stood there like in shock.
It almost seems like the reverse of Anakin. He's like the mirror. Like, he's been forced into this life because of his line, or, you know, because he was a Skywalker. He's been forced into everything, but instead of being forced to the... Well, he was forced to the good side, then it was the bad side. So it's literally, it almost seems just like a mirror of Anakin's journey.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because the article itself is explaining... sorry, my computer's doing something weird. Remember that virus we talked about last week? Yeah, it's still there. So it's talking about the idea that Kylo Ren never fell to the dark side. A falling to the dark side like Anakin and all these is a choice that you make. You're choosing the dark side. And what we're seeing from the Rise of Kylo Ren comic book series is that he never really chooses the dark side. He's just forced into it from everybody.
Forced.
Did I have to throw something at you, Nathan?
No.
Okay.
This is madness.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was... and interesting, and I was actually thinking of it from the perspective it does sort of reverse or mirror what's going on with Anakin that we talked about last week.
See? All comes in.
All connected.
We got this.
Celebration Anaheim 2020.
Podcast
meetup has been announced.
Ooh,
Coffee with Kenobi. This is actually from
this is going to be busy.
This is from the Fantatrax. Fantatrax.com. But our pals over at Coffee with Kenobi, we talked about Dan. Earlier about that. Are bringing and by the way, he complimented us on the success of our podcast when he tweeted to us.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, that's cool.
It was kind of cool. So, anyway, Coffee with Kenobi is like pretty amazing. What did you say?
I said, wait, we're successful?
Yeah, no. Hold on. Just for you, Dan.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah, so our friends over at Coffee with Kenobi are bringing the podcast fandom together as they organize this year's podcast meetup at Celebration Anaheim, Friday the 28th of August at Hilton Anaheim Mix Lounge. And there's the address, which you don't need to read. It's going to start at around 7 p.m. or whenever the show floor closes. there. They want all Star Wars podcasts and their listeners to get together and share the joy of this saga and fandom together. You don't have to ask permission. You just need to show up.
Very cool.
And have some fun. Are we going to that, guys?
I mean, if we don't have anything else planned, why not?
Yeah.
Here's what I think. I think last Celebration... okay, so Celebration Orlando, we had no clue what was going on. Nope, we were just along for the ride and just doing whatever we did.
Yeah.
Right? Last one, it was all about interviews and all that
podcasts,
other stuff. Podcasts. We did afterward videos.
After every single panel that we went to, we did a podcast about it.
And while it was a fun experience, we got to do some amazing stuff. I sort of want to like...
Chatter College too. That was kind of
cool. Oh, it was so much fun. I do kind of want to sort of like...
Chill.
Just like we're doing with everything with the podcast this year, let's just go with it. Go with the flow and have some fun. And we had thought about doing a big family-friendly podcast meetup, but I just honestly, with everything going on in our lives, don't want to try to organize it and everything. So why don't we just go to this one and invite all of our listeners that want to meet up with us there.
Let's just have some
and
fun.
Invite mom, and she can meet some of the Star Wars fandom because she's going to be there.
It was crazy.
Especially if they're announcing it this early. So.
Yeah, that was fun, though.
It was fun.
But more chill.
And we probably won't be as exhausted, so we can actually stay for a little longer. Or having to do another recording that night that we had to do.
Yeah. Afterwards. I mean, it was fun and all. I get it. But it was a lot.
It was. So, yeah, we'll be there. You should be there, too.
I have spoken.
Luke Skywalker's is a traditional hero's journey.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
Anakin Skywalker's, at least from our unified perspective, is a failed hero's journey, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean for Rey Skywalker? And right now people are triggered with that because they just called her Rey Skywalker.
Because that's her name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, her journey is unconventional.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so we've been through Luke's. Like, it is classic Joseph Campbell, hero's journey. Fits it in so many different ways, right? And then we've got the Anakin Skywalker failed journey. Gets all the way up to the middle of Attack of the Clones when he's in his cave, right? Is that what they call it? What we call it? Crossing the threshold.
Cave.
The inmost cave or the crossing the threshold moment. No, that's not it.
Yeah,
it's in the inmost cave.
You're thinking it's
It is. You were there. It is. Yeah, it's
crossing
the inmost cave.
The threshold was.
Anyway, the inmost cave. Anakin.
You're having a hard time.
Anakin.
You need to read that tongue twister from the beginning. Where's that coming?
No. Anyway, Anakin fails and begins his descent into hell. Or
that's
Mustafar.
Strong.
Well, I mean, it sort of feels like that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's like a downward spiral with an animated series for 7 seasons thrown in.
So we can have some
more
stories.
So
you do see in that series, though, like,
it gets darker
and darker.
It just
gets worse and worse for him.
Yeah. So how does that apply to Rey with it? So it's an interesting idea, especially when we know who she is. Exactly, as we finished the story. Again, we're going based on the description of the different stages of the hero's journey found on badwriterclub.com, the hero's journey simplified. So the link you can find in the show notes and go with it if that's what you want to do. So. Starts off on an ordinary world. Remember, the everyday life of the protagonist is shown along with their fundamental problem within society. She is
a scavenger on Jakku.
On another desert planet. I'm seeing parallels here. I wonder if that's on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that all of our main protagonists' stories begin on that. Anakin and Luke on Tatooine, Rey on Jakku, because, you know.
Can't
Why not?
The same place.
But it is funny. It reminds me of that moment in the Force Tree Library on Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Where Luke's like, where are you from? And she's like, nowhere. And he's like, no, where are you from? And she's like, Jakku. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty much nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's
a good movie.
It is a great movie. So.
Yeah, no, but
might be one of my favorites.
It's just everyone knows how insignificant the planet is, even though one of the biggest battles of the Empire took place there. But, yeah, I don't know if that's relevant.
You know, as she's there on this planet, Scavenger doesn't even really begin to describe her situation. She's completely alone.
Yeah.
She's barely surviving.
Yeah.
She's taking like quarter portions and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that from mm-hmm. that thug Unkar Plutt.
Sure.
Simon Pegg.
Come on, Simon.
And she's sitting there just sort of waiting for her parents to come back.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting...
back.
No, but it is an interesting idea now for us to realize and step back and think about the fact that her parents are Sheev Palpatine's son and daughter-in-law. Yeah. She's waiting to come back.
I want to see more story about that.
Yeah. I don't know how... Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
Let's just say Palpatine's looking old.
No, we don't need it.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Anyway.
This is madness.
Yeah, just throw them all out there, man.
Well, we had to have the Emperor laughing at the end of that one. So, kind of like, anyway. All right. What do you think about the opening of Rey's story and her, you know, ordinary world moment there to start it off?
Everybody started on a desert planet, and it's funny how she's the only one that ends on a desert planet, but she's, I feel like, has the worst or hardest life out of them.
I agree.
Because she's alone, she has nobody, she's barely scraping the bowl, and nothing's really exciting.
I mean, Anakin or Luke had it pretty dang easy for the most part. Like, the worst thing he had to go through
was, he was just a whiny farm boy.
Right. Yeah. Right. Luke or Anakin had it hard because he was a slave, but he still, I mean, it wasn't horrible for
him. I mean, he had a mother, he was able to go pod racing and.
Yeah. And then you got Rey, who's completely, again, alone and has scavenged almost everything there is on this planet. Barely getting enough food to make it through the day, and just the only thing keeping her going is the hope that maybe her parents will come back for her. And it's been years now.
But at the end of Rise of Skywalker, I was like, I'm pretty happy for the scavengers because another Star Destroyer fell. Big payday for them.
That's funny. So then you have this moment where there's this call to greatness. The balance of the ordinary world is disrupted by an event that returns or that results in the protagonist being faced with an opportunity or challenge or a dilemma. And this moment is
Finn and BB-8.
Yeah.
My BB-8's cool.
Yeah.
Your dude?
BB-8's my dude.
It doesn't feel like it's the same entry into the hero's journey as Anakin and Luke, does it?
Luke.
not Anakin. Luke, I mean, it's just another droid coming, saying, hey, I...
Yeah, but then it immediately goes to Kenobi, lightsaber, the Force, your dad was a Jedi. We get all of that right there in that moment as part of the call to greatness. Anakin, Qui-Gon Jinn shows up. You must have Jedi reflexes. Fly this pod racer. I'm freeing you. I'm going to train you to be a Jedi. And Rey, it's kind of like there's this like stormtrooper that isn't, well, he's with Resistance. He's not a stormtrooper.
BB-8 that has,
and,
you know,
and a droid.
A map to Luke Skywalker.
And it's the First Order attacking, and that's what thrusts her into this. She just gets pulled into it as a form of survival rather than she's actually being called to greatness in this moment. Because
she immediately, as soon as they get out of atmosphere, she's like, well, I gotta head back to Jakku.
Yeah, which is like the next stage, really. It's that refusal of the call.
Yeah.
Which is that if the protagonist isn't eager or doesn't have a choice, they'll refuse to the call to adventure, and it's that whole funny line from Finn, you know, why does everybody want to go back to Jakku? Yeah.
But, I mean, she doesn't realize that she has any greater purpose in everything. So why would she have to leave? You know, she just... My place is on Jakku. I gotta wait for my parents. That's my purpose, is waiting for them.
Which is different than what we see, again, kind of going back to what I was just saying a minute ago, with Anakin and Luke. Anakin and Luke were explained that they had a bigger purpose, right? Or they were told that they had a bigger purpose. Ben Kenobi's like, you're going to come with me. I'm going to go save the princess. Your dad was a Jedi. Anakin, we're training you to be a Jedi with it. Her, it's like, oh, well, I got off the planet. You're safe now. BB-8, Finn, you guys go back to the Resistance, and then I'm coming back to Jakku and waiting for Mom and Dad.
Right. With
it. There is no bigger story for her. The Resistance isn't her bigger story. Yeah. It's just a battle. It's somebody else's fight.
Yeah, I mean, just this droid's got a map to Luke Skywalker. Cool. I'll get it. I'll help him.
Well, even at this point, though, when she wants to go back to Jakku,
you're right.
She doesn't even know that map. That he has it, or that understand that. I guess she knows that there's a map.
She knows.
What do you think about the fact that Rey doesn't have like the same call to greatness moment?
It's very different, and she has the least hope, I guess, out of all the hero's journey. She never really knew her parents. She kind of just remembered that they existed, and she's been living on her own for so long, and now these two, this droid and this guy come, and he's like, hey, kind of need your help.
Yeah.
And
is there a refusal of the call with her?
Ish. I feel like she's willing to help, and then gets kind of thrown into it. So, kind of, but not as much as others.
I mean, once she grabs the lightsaber and all that happens, and then Maz is like, this is yours. You know, it calls to you. It literally, she says, it calls to you. And she's like, I don't want any part of this, and runs off into the forest. That seems like a pretty textbook definition of refusal.
I guess, that moment. But it's and it is interesting because it is linked to the lightsaber, which is the sword in the hero's journey. You know, this idea of King Arthur reaching in and getting the sword and that kind of thing. You all right there?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You okay?
Okay. Then the next phase is meeting the mentor. The protagonist finds the motivation, courage, or training they need to accept the call to adventure through a mentor or an event. This one to me is interesting. You know, we talked last week that there were like multiple mentors that were trying to vie for Anakin. We had Qui-Gon, but then he dies. You have Ben or Obi-Wan Kenobi, but he doesn't really want it, but he does it out of obligation to Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
You have Sheev Palpatine, who wants to be his mentor, but that's because he wants to pull him to the dark side.
Yeah.
This is a very different situation. In The Force Awakens, and we have Han.
Yes.
I mean, do you agree that Han is the mentor character?
In the first one? Oh, definitely. Yes. Absolutely.
And there isn't, again, it isn't about the Force. He mentions the Force, you know, in the famous moment, it's true, all of it. You know, I used to think it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo, that kind of thing, but it's true. All of that kind of stuff. But he doesn't really see himself as like, he's going to train her to the Force.
No.
And he doesn't even, they aren't even talking to her about the Force at this point.
Yeah. It's just, she was like, you're with Luke Skywalker and all that.
Right.
Yeah. So he's not even trying to convince her of that or anything.
Right.
Okay.
So we have Han in the first one. The next one, she goes to Luke to, do the, you know, to become her mentor. That's the whole point of the next one.
Yeah.
And what's his reaction to her?
He's like, no.
I don't want to do that.
So it's the mentor is rejecting her in the second movie.
Yeah.
Pushing her away. Not going to train her. Not going to help her. I mean, he does sort of begrudgingly train her, but it's not really to train her. He gives those three lessons, which we only see two of them. But so probably one of the
maybe the third lessons is he dies.
No, the third lesson is a deleted scene.
Yeah,
that's right.
With it, but anyway, what you know, he's only doing it to prove a point.
Yeah,
like I'm going to train you to be a Jedi. But what I'm going to tell you is you don't want to be a Jedi.
Yeah,
that's what her training is.
Yeah,
with it, and then he dies.
Yes,
in this one, and so who's the mentor in Rise of Skywalker?
Leia.
Oh, Leia. Yeah,
but. I mean, she's training him or her, Rey, but she ends up dying while Rey's off.
All of her mentors just die.
Which, you know, that sort of happens with Ben and Kenobi and Qui-Gon and that type of situation. But does it feel like there's a hero's journey that doesn't want to actually exist with her?
Yeah, it's like it's hard having a hard time getting started or continuing. It's like it just keeps dying off in a sense.
So
yeah, it can't keep this momentum going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the crossing the threshold moment. The protagonist has accepted the call to adventure, officially taking their first step on their journey where there is no turning back. BB Nate, this starts with the moment she opens that Ben Solo or Ben Kenobi's chest from A New Hope. You guys do know that.
Yeah.
That's the chest that same lightsaber was held in.
How'd she get a hold of that too?
It's a good story for another time.
Are they ever gonna
answer that? Star Wars issue 2? The end. Is that person that caught that lightsaber Ben? Because that'd be the only thing that made sense. Well, yeah. Don't you remember? Remember that? Yes, but he can grab stuff as the Force goes. Okay, this happens after Empire. Right.
Well, yeah. Okay, we're
I'm sorry.
We're losing track here. No, it's a different thing. She opens up the box. She touches the lightsaber. She has the famous Force back vision. With all the stuff that's associated with that, which I don't know if ever was really truly explained. Was that?
Nope. No. I don't remember ever getting it.
Probably in the novelization or something.
Well, we'll have to see. With that comes out in a month from now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. You're going to be busy.
But she rejects it, right? That's where she hands we talked about it earlier. She hands back the lightsaber to Maz and says she doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Right.
But then it sort of adjusts and comes back where she then claims the lightsaber.
Yes.
At Starkiller Base. You know, Finn has been bested, is the right word, by Kylo Ren. The lightsaber's over there. It starts to shake in the snow, very similar to Hoth and the Wampa Cave with it.
I never noticed that, apparently.
Yeah, and then it flies back into her hand, and she confronts it. So that's the moment where she accepts...
Yeah.
What's going on? It starts a little bit more when she's on Starkiller Base with using the Force.
And, let me out of the room or whatever.
Right.
The whole thing with the Stormtrooper. Yeah, okay. But it like really takes place when she accepts the saber. Because then she really uses the Force and, you know, the thing that she was saying, I don't want to have anything to do with it. She literally
she accepts it back.
To her. Yeah. Like, okay, this is how.
So that's like that feels like a very clear. You know, accepting the call, crossing the threshold type moment with it, the call to greatness. Mm-hmm. Then we have the tests, allies, and enemies. The protagonists will be tested in achieving their goals by enemies who give them obstacles and allies who help them along the way.
Okay.
Got it.
So we have that moment in Snoke's throne room where she's being tested by Snoke, but really I think the testing is more... does she accept Ben's hand or Kylo Ren's hand to rule the galaxy? This is like the first big test for her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that test take on greater weight knowing she's a Palpatine?
Now, yes. Especially with the whole Rise of Kylo Ren, Force Storm, Palpatine killing all the younglings. There's a lot of stuff that goes into Rey's lineage now that we know what it is, actually.
What do you think, Sam?
Does it have more meaning? I don't really see much more meaning.
Well, I mean, we've got the Force Dyad thing. We've got Palpatine's granddaughter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it does have more meaning that she rejects it, knowing that the dark side runs in her bloodline. So I feel like it'd take more strength to reject it in a sense. But other than that, no, not in my opinion. But what do you think? Like, why do you say that it would have more weight?
I just wonder. I mean, it just feels like, okay, you know, do we, in the Star Wars world universe, the story, bloodline has an impact on things. So being... the granddaughter of Palpatine and having the opportunity to fully succumb to the dark side in that moment, surrender, become, you know, the emperor at that point, the supreme leader with Kylo Ren. I don't know. It feels like it could be potential. Now, what's interesting, you know, it talks about joining with her allies and her friends at this stage. The Last Jedi actually cuts her off completely from all of her allies and friends.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
And we don't see them together really until the very end, and then we move into the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So again, it feels like we're getting to like the hero's journey is missing to some extent, or it's being
stalled
and not moving forward the way that it has in some of the other storylines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like there's things being put in her, obstacles being put in her way constantly, which I wonder, like, why that is, like, why that decision was made, even if it wasn't necessarily a conscious level that they decided to make it, to where she has a sort of hero's journey, but it's, like, it's having a hard time getting momentum. I wonder why that is. Maybe it's to make it seem like there's more of a challenge, in a sense, to really fulfill her purpose, is, like, if there's more obstacles in the way. Outside of just the traditional obstacles that come with a hero's journey. But I don't know. That's an interesting idea to think about.
Well, I think that there'd be two schools of thought. One, they've made deliberate choices in order to try to help to tell a different type of story.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it would be sort of the dark side response to that would be they really didn't have a plan and they just were going through and making three different movies and trying to piece them together,
mm-hmm.
which is what some people have suggested.
I can sort of see both sides.
Yeah, I mean, JJ, I think we've talked about it before in the show. JJ has a different view of what Star Wars is than, and this is just my opinion maybe, than Ryan. And neither one are right or wrong.
No.
I think they're both equally valid. JJ's is adventure, space battles, humor, you know, the epic, you know, Flash Gordon moments.
Yes.
Okay. Right? Do you understand where I'm coming from on that with JJ?
Yeah.
And Ryan's the Force, the mythology,
deep thoughts
and all that. And unfortunately, you know, it gets clunky at times between the three.
Well, that
even though I loved all three movies.
Yes. J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams' directing style is adventure, fun, lighthearted, laughs, all that kind of thing we see with Star Trek and then mm-hmm. Force Awakens and everything. Ryan Johnson, we see with Knives Out, a very deep, thought-out plot.
There's humor to it, though, but it's a very...
It's a very thought-out plot that goes throughout the whole movie. It's very thought-provoking throughout mm-hmm. the whole thing. It's just the different directing styles can clash sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was interesting. Here's something that's interesting as I was thinking about this moment in the hero's journey. Her test was Kylo Ren, right? I said that.
Yeah. Taking his hand.
And her enemy, right, in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Becomes her friend and her ally.
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can... I'd really see now how why you said it's a very unconventional hero's journey.
Yeah. It's... different.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting.
Again, why would they? What's the purpose of that? Like, one thing you got to give them credit for is I cannot think of any parallels to this sort of hero's journey in other stories. Like, I can't see anything. So this is regardless of what you think, they pulled off a unique story.
No, that's absolutely true. Now we get to the approach of the Inmost Cave, you know, the Dagobah moment, the death of Shmi Skywalker type moment, the beginning of the protagonist's first transformation as they begin to confront the fundamental problem, their fears and their worries they have avoided. Now, at this point, we're at the end of The Last Jedi, and we're still struggling with her getting into the hero's journey. She's accepted the call, she's picked up the lightsaber, but her training, and that's the way she opens in The Rise of Skywalker. She's frustrated with her progress in this. Remember, she's like, the training isn't working. She's not moving as far along as she wants to be. She's being pulled to, you know, Poe wants her to be the leader and the pilot. And Leia wants to train her in the Force. And she's feeling pulled in all these different directions. She's reading the journals. But she feels like things haven't gone where they need to be. At this point, at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker, would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, literally, the first time we see her is in frustration.
Yeah.
So
I can't hear the voices of the Jedi. I'm never going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. That kind of a moment, and then honestly, I kind of feel like the Inmost Cave is the moment on Exegol with Palpatine.
I wouldn't have to say that because I totally forget what the planet is called. But the planet where she finds a Sith Wayfinder is basically the Force cave.
Well, that's Endor.
Yeah, Endor. That, yeah. I feel like, is where she goes to approach the Inmost Cave.
Okay, that's fair. Because she's confronting her own darkness.
Mm-hmm. I think that would make
Dark Side
a little bit more sense. I mean, it literally parallels
the, okay.
the Dagobah thing. But I mean, I see you're going with it, but that seems more like it'd be...
Yeah, we may see that come back in the end. Yeah.
So...
With it. The ordeal, the protagonist must overcome their fears and take on their first big challenge at the midpoint. But again, we're in Act 3,
mm-hmm.
and she's just reaching this moment in the journey because it keeps feeling like it's starting and stopping and not and getting, you know, detoured and all that other. You know, I think it first happens... Maybe the big moment in on Endor that you're talking about is still a part of that. She fears, she had the vision at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker of her sitting on the throne, dark side, and, you know, given over to the dark side. And then she's on Endor and she confronts herself in the dark side, with it. Maybe that moment with, you okay? Sorry, fighting a cough there. Maybe that moment trying, you know, with the confrontation with Kylo Ren, is sort of that ordeal. Is that where we find out who she really is? Not who she is as far as Palpatine, who she really is as Rey, as Rey Skywalker, that who she's going to become is in that moment where she's confronting Kylo Ren outside of the death on the wreckage of the Death Star with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she basically kills him at first. And then realizes what she's done, and she saves him. And it seems like she's fully given into the goodness in her. Yes. She was confronted with her evil. She rejected it, and now is fully herself, Rey, in this case. And that's why I think the whole Palpatine thing doesn't have much of an impact on her at the end. She's already accepted who she is. As a person, so regardless of what her last name is, she knows who she is.
Yes. She, like you said, has an unconventional hero's journey, especially with everything that's happening. We really don't see the hero in the story, you know, kill the villain. It's never really happened with any hero's journey, but she does, and then she realizes, of course, what she's done wrong. Leia dies, and bad stuff happens, and she heals him. I feel like that's when she finds out who really she is as a Jedi, and it's like, okay, I gotta accept the fact that I'm a Jedi, and I better not turn to the dark side, because that would be bad, and Kylo Ren is a very interesting character in the fact that he was conflicted for his whole career as a Kylo Ren. He mm-hmm. was always conflicted. Never really a point where he was like, I'm dark side.
Mm.
And then Han Solo shows up and it's pretty important to him. And I feel like important to Rey that all that happened.
There's an alarm going off
it. It's the TV.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Reward, seizing the sword. Now I'm going to change some thoughts on this one. But here's what we've got. The, it says after the protagonist fights their first challenge, they gain new insight or a tool that will help them overcome the rest of their journey. And I had things like, you know, this happens with Starkiller Base when she gets Luke's lightsaber, it happens again, when she gets the power to connect with Kylo Ren through the force time, you know, connection, that's a new tool. Force healing is a new tool that she keeps getting on this. But I think that as we've discussed this, clarity may come, have come to me.
Okay.
When does she truly seize the sword? Her destiny, what she's actually been called to?
When she gets the Sith Wayfinder?
No. She's on Act Two. She's torching the TIE Whisperer. Luke comes to her and becomes the mentor. And like truly becomes the mentor in the force that he was supposed to have been.
Right.
Right. He explains to her what her role is. He tells her about the vision that Leia had during her training as a Jedi, mm-hmm. that her training had to stop, but someone else would rise up to complete what she was going to do to be because yeah. she stops. And she gets the sword. What sword does she get, though?
Leia's.
She gets Leia's.
Hmm.
I think that's a really... Yeah. Like it's been starting and stopping. And it hasn't been happening. And all of a sudden, now... It's time to move the forward. Now the ball
is rolling.
Now she's claimed the sword. She knows her destiny. That's her call to greatness. She knows where she fits. Isn't that what she says on The Last Jedi? I just want to know my place in all of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she still didn't really know, even at the Rise of Skywalker opening. But now with what happens on Ahch-To 2 with Luke and what he tells her about Leia's vision and then giving her Leia's lightsaber that she's to use to finish whatever she it started. Is.
Yeah.
Right? Hmm. Now she has focus. Yeah, now she has direction. She knows her purpose. She accepts the call to greatness. She's moving forward. And she's going to have that inmost cave moment again because she's going to get to Dagobah or Exegol, and she's going to have to confront darkness in a greater way than even the vision that she had. Like yeah. It's starting
yeah.
now.
Now. Yeah. We got to finish this. We got like half an hour to finish the rest of her story.
Yeah, because the next one's the road back after gaining the reward. The protagonist must use that tool to fix or achieve their goal. So her reward was Leia's saber or her destiny. Leia's destiny
yes.
becomes her destiny at this point. And she's going forth and she's going to finish what she was originally supposed to.
Yeah.
To yeah. do with it.
Okay.
Next one being Resurrection, the final battle or confrontation for the protagonist to use all the skills that they have learned over the course of their journey. This is basically everything that happens on Exegol.
Yeah.
The Force time, battle. Force healing, the lightsaber, yeah. Leia's saber. Remember, she's using Leia's saber. She passes off Luke's saber back to Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? Maybe we do need to look at Ben from the hero's journey perspective. Because is it possible that Ben's is another frustrated hero's journey?
And then when that, the two come together,
they come together. It all makes sense. He gets the lightsaber. He moves the call to grace, the greatness.
They had to always be together because they were the ones who were going to help complete each other's stories. Man, there's a Reylo quote or something for you.
There's a Reylo. Are you a Reylo at heart?
No.
No.
I'm pretty neutral.
And then return with the elixir. The protagonist is returned back to the ordinary world, changed by all of the lessons they have learned on their journey. Of course, we've got. The celebration at the end of T-Ross, but really then you've got Tatooine.
Yeah, the burying of Leia's and Luke's sword.
And she is changed. She's yes. It's transformed.
Yeah.
And so much so that she's saying,
I'm a
Skywalker now.
Yeah.
With it. To Cammy.
Wait.
That's the old lady.
Are we sure of this?
No, it's my head Cam.
Okay.
All right, greater story stuff. The greater story, lessons from Rey's journey. Sins of the Fathers. You got the hiccups?
I do.
Oh, sorry about that. All right. Generational curses or sins of the fathers.
Mm.
They do not have to pass on is a lesson we can learn.
Yes.
Yeah. You can break the cycle with it. You know, we see this with people with alcoholism. You know, grandfathers are alcoholics. Fathers are alcoholics. Sons become alcoholics. Their children become alcoholics because it's the cycle. Abusers, sex addicts, you know, people that are gamblers. All this, there's this pattern, and at some point somebody has to break the cycle if anything is ever going to change.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happens with her on that. That's one.
I agree.
I think it's also interesting to realize that the greatest tool that she uses in this entire arc is her love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's compassion, it's kindness, it's love for it. She overcomes her fear
of who she was.
Who she might become.
Yeah. Her inner self in the darkness.
And then the last thing, you know, she dies, right?
Yeah.
She's resurrected,
mm-hmm.
and she takes on a new identity. And, you know, from our perspective, there's a significant spiritual connotation to that. You know, there's that Galatians 2:20 that says, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I don't live. But it's not I who lives, it's Christ living in me with that. It's the idea of anyone that is in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And even so much so that at the end in Revelation, it says that we're all given a new name with it. So it's interesting, you know, connections to the greater story.
Yeah.
that are on that.
Very interesting. I like it.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about?
Anything else?
Well, Luke Skywalker has claimed a yellow saber after Empire Strikes Back in Star Wars.
I got a bad feeling about this.
What the heck?
I'm confused.
There's a lot that's happening in this.
The main Star Wars comic line.
Yeah.
Is being redone by Charles Soule.
And Luke has another lightsaber before his green
saber. And we see on the cover that he's on an ice planet.
Is it Elm?
Might be. So?
That's interesting.
Ooh, I like that.
And is that where Rey gets the yellow kyber crystal?
Kylo Ren rampages on Mustafar in the Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker novelization. He's going off. He takes on a giant spider. Has a conversation with a giant spider. Armitage Hux is hanging out. My understanding is a lot of the deleted content, from what I'm hearing and reading, is a lot of the deleted content from the movie is in this story, and it's probably going to make a lot more sense in The Rise of Skywalker. So
very interesting. Yeah, and we got a new Star Wars The Clone Wars clip that promises high-stakes action.
Just a couple of days away, guys.
Oh,
in the finals?
We are
from
close.
The final season.
I'm just excited.
Do we have how many episodes it's going to have? Do we know?
I don't remember. I think it's 12. Yeah, I think it's four arcs.
Do we know how long they're going to be?
No. So you came across some information about The Clone Wars that season 5, which I thought was interesting.
From Star Wars Underworld, which is pretty cool.
They're pretty good guys.
The titles and the general themes of the final four episodes of season 5, Star Wars The Clone Wars, are direct references to films by Alfred Hitchcock. We have Sabotage, the Jedi Who Knew Too Much, To Catch a Jedi, and The Wrong Jedi, corresponding with the Hitchcock films, Sabotage, The Man Who Knew Too Much, To Catch a Thief, and The Wrong Man.
Huh. Interesting.
That's kind of cool.
It is cool. All right. Well, cool. Well, let's talk about this coming week's. Is that right?
Yes. This week.
Did I get
it
close enough?
You did.
This coming week's podcast poll. What's the critical moment in Rey's hero's journey? I may have to change this one. I've got confronting Kylo on Starkiller, rejecting Kylo's hand in TLJ, airing Kylo's life in T-Ross. I'm probably going to change this poll up a little bit and throw in there accepting Leia's destiny or embracing Leia's destiny as one of those.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I agree, because that is a very important part.
But it sort of flies under the radar.
It really does.
It does.
It's not emphasized enough in the film.
No.
Maybe in the book we're really going to get some of that. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, they can probably. I think they will expand more on Leia and Rey's relationship. So I think
it'll help with that. That's cool. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to our show.
So much.
We appreciate it. We'd love it if you don't if you're not currently subscribing on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or on Google Play or on Spreaker or on whatever source that you use.
Yeah.
Podbean, Castbox. Trying to think of any of the others.
Any
of them. You can subscribe. There's a button somewhere right now on your phone or computer that says subscribe.
Tablet.
You can TV. Do that. It'd be pretty easy to do if you wanted to. Social media. Trying to interact a little bit more again. We're getting a little bit. It comes in waves because we're not on it every day. But follow us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons. Instagram, we're not on that at all. Snapchat, I don't know how it works and I've never done that. Facebook, we're doing that. With it. Follow us.
We'll
interact. The more you interact, maybe the more I'll engage. We'll see.
Encouraging.
Yeah. And we didn't get any reviews this week, so if you want to give us a review and say how cool you think we are,
then that'd be great.
We wouldn't complain.
No, we love reviews.
We do.
I love reviews.
It's kind of a cool moment. Yeah. So
makes us feel special.
It does. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.